Hello and welcome to Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. This is Reverend Shreese Thorne inviting you to journey to all that is.
Hello, I am Reverend LaVon. I live out here in Minnesota, way north in the cold corner. And today I'd like to share what prayer or positive thinking can do, how powerful it is. And I do like to share stories. I think the main reason I like to share stories is because for me, stories really relate. I can click easier with a story than being read to just about information. Okay, you know, it is kind of hard for me to believe that I am where I'm at. I mean, not just the fact that I'm doing this radio thing on the internet, but just where I'm at now, because I will be 55 next week, and what I am doing is so different than what I have been raised to do and what I have been doing for all my life. Just in the last 5-7 years, things have really dramatically changed to the good. Just to kind of give you a gist of what I am trying to bring out, I was raised in a family. There was 11 of us children, and my father is a machinist, or was a machinist, because he has passed on. And, of course, having so many children, my mom basically was home. And we had a wonderful life, I thought. You know, my mother's, she was very reclusive, so she lived for us children, and my brother was born, the baby. When he was born, the oldest brother was just turning 16, while I was just going on 14. So being the oldest girl, of course, that meant lots of diapers. I mean, automatically you're the second mom. It's just the way it happens with big families. Well, anyways, of course, I chose the life that I chose according to our astrology cards. We all come here to learn, to teach, to take part in to set a situation for people that need to experience karma or whatever they need to learn. And it's quite interesting. The more I look in to things, the more I deal with astrology, I have sessions, I go into past lives myself, and all those kind of issues, I find out more and more why I am doing what I am doing. The main reason I share what I share is I'm trying to help people come forth. I'm trying to help people. We come here to live our truth, and some of the things I say may even give you an idea to help you find what your truth is, why you're doing what you're doing, and maybe more than anything, how to deal with others. It sure has helped me to look at people differently since I've learned why and how it works. Like, I used to be a very serious Bible Christian only. I would not look into anything else. I feel what I'm looking into now is what's behind the scene, because I have nothing against the Christian movement. I think it is inspired. But it's quite interesting that I've been learning now what happens behind the scene, what happens with the dead, etc., etc. Okay. Well, I found out that before I was born into my family that I am still associated with, I looked for quite a while for a very pure mom and as pure as I could father because of who I am. I'm a very ancient soul, and I come from where the Seven Sisters star system is. And it was like, just to make it kind of, try to make it clear, it was like we were all sitting around enjoying each other's company, and we realized talking to the people, you know, by going around them, trying to speak through their minds, make things happen, it wasn't quite working as well as we'd like it to. So we all said that one of us should go down or I shouldn't say down because it's among. One of us should go among the people, and it would be easier and more effective to work among them. Well, obviously, somehow I got chosen, and then I actually have seven spirit guides. I call them my seven sisters, and they basically, anyone I talk to that's intuitive, they will tell me that they can see these seven sisters, and it's almost like they're a cocoon. They protect me. They guide me. And the more I talk, you'll hear stories of how they have been in my life and how much they have protected me. Again, it was in my cards. I'm supposed to be here. In fact, I've been told I'm going to be here maybe another 50 years. You know, I've had a few of them tell me that, and I'm going to be 55, so it's kind of quite interesting. So, well, again, because my mother, who I chose to be my mother, which is a very pure soul, and if you met her, you would say amen, because she lives what she believes. She's very reclusive, very quiet, very shy, but because of it, I had a very sheltered life. We didn't do much. Dad worked two jobs, and so basically Mom did not care to mingle. So, but you only know what you know. To us, it was okay, because that's all we knew. We even went to a Catholic school. I went for like 8 years, and it was a very strict school, but no horror stories. I hear a lot of horror stories with people that have gone to Catholic schools. Not all, but a lot. You know what I'm talking about. I happen to be blessed. I was with a school that treated us well. But they were very wise to a point. They'd have the boys play in the back and the girls play in the front during recess, which is good because, you know, it causes less headache and less temptation, et cetera, et cetera. Well, because my mom was so shy, and I did inherit a lot of her tendencies, that's one reason why I say it's hard for me to believe I'm even doing the radio station, because I was very shy, very shy. And it was, now I look back, I didn't realize how naive and sheltered I was, because you don't know, because, you know, we just see ourselves as we are. We don't realize the difference, because you only know what you know. Well, my mom could not afford to send us to the public Catholic school, so we had to go to the public school. And it was quite interesting because it was not easy for me. I mean, it was like, oh, such a difference. I was in such a calm, quiet school. It was so, you know, in order, no fighting, and the teachers were so sensible and kind. And then I went to a school where kids were swearing and disrespectful, and it was just so different. But it took me until my senior year to adjust to it. And then I only went to school till 11 o'clock, and then I went on a work program. Then I got married shortly after. So I've always kind of had a sheltered, what you call, straight life, kind of stayed out of trouble, which is great because then I don't have to, you know, habits are hard to give up. Well, I want to share with you how my mother was a very sensible lady, so she didn't believe in anything. We never heard anything about kind of like fairies, gnomes, ghosts, etc. So all we ever had was a straight, quiet home. But when I was a real little child, about 5 years old, I saw a gnome. And you know, it's so strange, is all my life I knew it was a gnome, but I didn't tell nobody until I got older because it must have been so part of me. You know, I believe children, when they're young, and animals, they see things that we don't see when we get older. And just to make a long story short, I was going to a dentist, and he wasn't very gentle. So my mother said, I'm going to take you to the dentist today. Well, you know, I ran and hid under her bed because no way was I going to the dentist. And I was really petrified. And all of a sudden I looked, there's a little gnome about my size, and we never said a word to each other, but he really calmed me down by just being in my presence. Now, it's quite interesting because now, while I'm saying this, I'm realizing, because one of the things I do is I'm a healer, and I realize it's my energy that does the healing. So here, that's what happened then. So even then, I was so protected. I was just so protected. And as a little girl, I did not get on my knees and pray, but my thoughts and my intention was answered. So here that's like a positive thinking, praying. Okay, another time, even during that time where I was really sheltered and everything was just plain, straight, no nonsense, just a sensible mom, not getting into anything that was out of norm. When I was about 10, when I was at the Catholic school, we used to pray in the morning, pray before everything, recess, pray after recess, pray before lunch, pray after lunch. I heard they don't do that anymore. Well, one time while I was praying like that, because we used to put our hands, you know, together. Well, anyways, all of a sudden, with my eyes closed, I saw a bright light. And the bright light, at that time, because of the way it was brought up, I thought it was Jesus. And I'm not saying it wasn't, but I didn't really see who the bright light was. But I knew it was from the divine. And the thought said to my mind, I want you to be a nun. Well, I said to this, I answered with a thought, and I said, well, first I want a husband and children. And that was it. Now, I never told anyone, but all my life from then on, I was going to be a nun. But I still was going to have a husband and children. And as a Catholic little girl, I knew that was impossible. But at that time, I still knew nothing was impossible with God. So it's quite interesting how I had that mix. But it kept me on that path of a spiritual walk, of the walk that I only knew. And also, there was something that happened that was around the same age, maybe a little younger. I was fishing with my brother, and it was quite early in the morning, because we moved into more of a country area. And anyways, there was an individual who came, and he asked if we would show him where it would be a good fishing spot. So my brother didn't want to, and I thought, well, my mom said that all that can happen is, all she used to tell me is, do not go in cars with strangers. So I thought to myself, well, this individual doesn't have a car, and he isn't taking me in the car, so I think I was around 9. And that's how innocent we were then. Nowadays, because of the TV, the children know too much too soon. Well, I showed him where the parking spot was, and I heard this voice, and the voice said, you know, this was as clear as you and I talking, or you hearing and I talking. And the voice says, go back, it's a mean man. Well, I don't want to get into the description, but he tried to molest me. And it was not a wonderful ordeal, I have to admit. But everything is for our good, everything. Well, I'll be honest. You know, I'm going to be 55, and I always believed God was with me. But every once in a while, I'd wonder why that had to happen. And that's how I learned about how to make children. I didn't know before that. So I had a little mix-up about it. But on the way back, I remember thinking in my head, this poor man, he has to go to see his mom because he needs to go to the doctor because I thought he had a problem with urinating, okay? I mean, that's how innocent I was. But I never resented. It was like I understood, even as young as I was, that he was sick, you know, but now that I'm older, I realize he was sick, really sick. Well, after having sessions, I call them sessions, which I and two other ladies, we offer it to people, and a lot of times we do it on the phone, and some people do it in person, depends on where you live. We can do it anywhere. In fact, we found out it works better on the phone, something to do with the energy going right into the ear. Well, I found out that one of the reasons I had to endure that was because in past lives I was molested quite a bit, and killed, tortured, molested, and killed as a healer. And as a rule, I understood, I knew God was still with me, but there was a time that I didn't, but it was real slight. So I had to have like a karma experience and experience with the right mindset. And that time I did, you know, even as young as I was. And also, well, I used to belong to a fantastic Bible group, and if right now I'm just a spirit being, I don't belong to anything. Not that I'm against anything, but I realize I need not belong. But I used to do door knocking, you know, and it wasn't that we had to. It was my calling, and I had lots of fun with it. Well, anyways, I hit a door, and this little lady, she was sharing with me that when she was 5, how she had the same experience, but it happened, you know. And she told me, because I have to be honest, every once in a while I'd think, well, I knew God was with me, but why did I have to experience that? Well, at the time I did not understand the past life karma things, but also, you know, why the voice? And when I realized that because he did not succeed like hers did, that I was really protected because it made her with a split personality because the pain was so horrible. So that really was a wonderful inspiration that she shared with me. Because, you know, I guess I'll be honest, I did not understand because nobody really talked with me and stuff. So as a child, you only do what you understand. And I never learned like I should have because I never really talked to anybody. So this lady, I door knocked, and I believe she even took some books from me, and like I always handed out wonderful literature that aimed toward the love of Christ. But because of what she shared with me, she did wonders of healing for me. So again, why do we have to go through what we go through? And we all choose what we go through. We are here also to help teach, and we also are willing to play parts so others can learn their lessons. I am so happy to learn this because it has made me not judge. You know, because to me, judging is probably the number one curse. Because, like, if you judge, there's a couple verses in the Bible. One verse, Romans, is it 2:1 or is it 1:2, says that how you judge, you will do the same thing. And also how you judge, God the Father will judge you accordingly. So we need to clear that. I mean, that's one thing we do also with that we offer as a, I call it trauma erase. And by the way, if you want to call in just to talk or to ask questions or even share some of your similar experiences or ask questions about our trauma erase, you can call 877-876-5227, which is toll-free, direct 530-876-3222, and from Canada, 888-815-9750. Now, like I say, you're more than welcome to call if you want to talk. So as a child, because I had that experience of asking to be a nun, again, what other way could the divine reach me but talk to me as a Catholic child? Because that to be a nun is the top spiritual position as a woman. Well, it's kind of interesting because even during that time, I wanted to be married, and I always wanted 2 little girls. No, I have 5 sisters and 5 brothers, but I always wanted 2 little girls, and a lot of times, even now, that's what I have. So my positive thinking, I believe, was one reason I have the 2 girls. But another reason is I found out in a past life, my husband and I now have been together. This is our 3rd lifetime as a married couple, and the last time we were married before this time, we were Mexican. But we were very rich Mexicans, and all we had was 2 girls. And even this lifetime, I kept thinking, if I could have 2 girls, then I wouldn't have to be pregnant no more. And so it's interesting how I desired that. But during that time, my 2 girls were kidnapped, and we never found them. So I'm sure that has something to do with why I wanted 2 girls, because my husband was the man that gave them to me in that lifetime. And even still, when people children are gone, I always say, I'd rather find them dead than never find them again. And, you know, I'm sure that was still in my energy field. So, anyways, it's interesting. The more I have learned the behind-the-scene reasons, it's really been very, very helpful for me, very healing. I feel that understanding and forgiveness is so powerful and healing. And it makes it easier to deal with this life. Another thing, too, is I was always kind of a straight-laced child. I just stayed out of trouble. I was a good student. And I also kind of looked at marriage. Even though I wanted to get married and have two kids, I still saw something. And it was like, and now I understand because I am very intuitive. I remember even as a child I would see things and I'd sit back and wonder why grown-ups didn't see it. You know, just common sense, doing things right, not being, there were such foolish decisions I saw. Well, obviously I chose to come here to marry my husband again. And my daughters, I found out, they're from the same dimension that I'm from. So obviously we agreed to come here to work together. And what's interesting is we worked side by side in our Christian movement. I was a gospel worker and we traveled all over and we just always worked together, walked together side by side spiritually. Well, they started leaning this way and I really tried to accept it, but I'm not going to say it was all that easy. And I'll have to share the story, but all of a sudden I saw it, but then I'm just older, so of course I'm expected to do much more because my daughters are 31, 32. So anyways, something happened and it was pretty serious, and I guess, again, I'll share that. And now I really see it, and I am really glad they saw it before me because we really thought this mindset was not of the divine. We thought it was of the other side or more of the low energy. And it's quite interesting. I still can't believe. That's why I keep saying I cannot believe I'm doing what I'm doing, because I would never have touched this mindset with a 10-foot pole. Not because I thought I was okay and everybody else was lost, but I just thought I was brainwashed that it was not the right thing to do. Well, what's quite interesting is I think I was 17. I was working as a waitress at this truck stop, and there my husband now, anyways, he talked to me a little bit, but not much. But all of a sudden, a voice said to me in my head, "This is the man you are to marry." And I remember looking at him, and I remember that, but it's almost like it was in me, but I didn't remember it, and you'll see why. So what happened was my husband asked me like 3 times to marry him, and I kept saying, "Not yet, not yet." And I'd go to the Catholic Church. I went twice on my own when the church was empty. That's when the doors were not locked. And then finally, see, the Catholic way was if you want to have a complete Mass, you need to get there before offertory and leave right after communion. And only Catholics understand what I'm talking about. But it's like right in the center, because to them that was the holy part of the Mass. So as a teenager, I'd go, at least I went, but I only went to the offertory and after communion, because actually that's when they gave a little sermon and all that. So the third time I got there, and I used to climb into the children's room, crying room they called it. And I'm standing there, and all of a sudden I was praying again about this. I says, "Am I supposed to marry this man?" Well, all I got was a thought. It was a thought just like someone would, you know, thinking thought. Someone talking to me said, "Do you want anyone else to have him?" And I said, "No." And this thought said, "He will let you do your thing." Now, that's always been important to me because I'm a very independent, strong-willed person, because I am an Aries, and also I'm a cusp of a Taurus. So I didn't realize until now that I'm older how important that was, because a lot of things that I did, most men would not go for it. You know, I mean, I'm not saying I did anything bad, but being a co-porter in the church that I was with, which is a Seventh-day Adventist, and a co-porter means literature evangelist, and I door knocked. That was my main ministry, which, and I also was a gospel worker, because you end up studying with Bible studying, and you end up bringing people to church, and it's just, you know, we're called co-porters, but, you know, we should be called door knocking gospel workers. And we bought an RV and we ran all over the countryside for 7 years. You know, when people would call us, we'd go. And, you know, so he let me do my thing. He wasn't against it, but it wasn't his thing. So it was quite interesting. So I was 18. My husband was 19 when we got married. And the night before we were to get married, it was a Friday night. It was quite interesting because his side was quite Lutheran. And my side was Catholic, but the Catholic Church said that he had to sign a paper that his children would be baptized Catholic, and he had no problem with it because he really wasn't a true blue Lutheran. Well, the night before the wedding, I was using his parents' bathroom, and all of a sudden his aunt and his grandmother stood by the door and had to let me know what they thought. They act like they talked to each other. And I made up my mind I didn't hear it. It was just, they had to get it off their chest, and we got along great. I never said nothing because I understood where they were coming from. Now that the older I am and I've learned about past lives, why we have come here and all that, I realize that I had a forgiving spirit. I mean, I didn't think anything of it because I thought everybody had it. Well, I was born because I, in past lives, have incorporated a forgiving spirit to my soul. So even the ordeal, I got molested, and now with the grandma and the aunt, and we got along great. I mean, they're both not here anymore. They passed on, but we never had a problem since then. Well, we were married probably, it was about short of 5 years before Kendra came along. And, of course, my other daughter, Tina, she came along 15 months later. So it was quite interesting when we first got married because I'm from a family of 11, like I've shared. So I made our first big meal, and here I made a big kettle of potatoes because that's what I was used to. My husband said, what are we going to do with all those potatoes? Well, we ate a lot of potatoes for a while. And it was nice for him, too, because he was the eldest of seven. He was the boy. So it was actually a good thing the universe made it so we had a good 5 years of just kind of actually a vacation after being from a big family like that. Well, I thought I was pretty content spiritually. But one day, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law were sitting waiting for my brother-in-law's wife at my house, and they start telling me how horrible Catholics are because they were Lutheran, and on and on and on and on and on and on. I'm sure all of you have experienced that spiritual battles. So when they got all done, I just said, you know, isn't this kind of silly? You were raised Lutheran, so you think your church is the church, and I was raised Catholic, and I honestly did not believe that way, though, that everybody had to be Catholic. But it was just kind of silly that I was getting reprimanded because I was raised different than they were raised. So after we talked, we agreed that, you know, we don't know beans about other churches, so we should just check out what they believe instead of going by what we've been told. Well, it wasn't long after that my brother-in-law called, and they went to a Baptist church, and they had a movie called Distant Thunder, and it's basically talking about Jesus coming again and the rapture and stuff like that. So he told me when they were going to have the next movie. So I said, you know, I think I'll get there. So I got there when I could because, you know, I was working full time. Well, anyways, I have never in my life heard that Jesus was coming again. I never heard about the rapture. I never heard that the Bible was the Word of God. I mean, at least if I did, I didn't sink in. And I was kind of even mad at nobody. Here I thought, hey, I'm 20. I had to have been 22 or something. No, I was a little older than that. And I remember thinking, that many years I walked, I thought I was a Christian. I was in this, and nobody ever told me this. Well, you know, now I realize where I'm at, that just because not all the Christians believe it. So it depends on where you're at. And even now I realize that some of that those theories are just someone's, again, own truth. But for years I believed that. I believed that. But not that long, because then I end up joining the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And, of course, their theory is different. So it depends on where you're going. Well, I didn't realize it, but my interesting search was just in the beginning of a wonderful adventure. I used to do upholstering in my home, so I would sit and upholster. Then, of course, I had my children. And actually, my daughters were born, and then I became born again. There's something about it when you have children, how it matters. It's more important to you about getting your act together. Well, while I was doing my upholstering in my front porch, I would be listening to Christian music, Christian radios, and they would always be offering some kind of a special gathering. And usually I'd go where they had a babysitting service, or else my husband would watch them. And it was quite interesting because he didn't come with me, but after about 6 months of me going quite a bit, he said he'd like to start coming. So it was kind of nice, and we got to share things. Okay, well, during that time, I listened a lot to the 700 Club. Now, I feel that all this was supposed to be for my walk. And many times I desired, and I, you know, it's positive thinking, praying. Like when I'd listen to those radio stations, I desired to learn more. I desired, and it would be something that would catch my ear more than another thing. And I understand now that I was supposed to go through many different mindsets in the Christian movement because of the work that I am doing now, so I can relate with people. Well, during that time, the 700 Club, I'm sure many of you have heard of it. And I don't think it's as popular as it was, because I don't get certain TV stations, but I think what was really popular for a long time, it was on the TV. And at first, I'd listen to it, and I became a Fishers of Men, and all we had to do was get on the phone, go down, they'd give us a letter in the phone book, and we were supposed to call everybody and just ask them if they knew about the 700 Club. And, of course, I lived in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and you know, it's like 600,000 people, so there was enough people to talk to. Well, afterwards, I went down and I helped answer the phone when they were trying to get donations. And then they asked me if I'd want to be a counselor for the 700 Club. And what's really special is that you can come down in person or have it connected to your phone in the computer, through a computer method. And that was great because my kids were little. And, you know, I said, great. Oh, I loved it. I had so much fun. I took all the time I could. Well, anyways, what happened was, while I was doing the 700 Club deal, of course I start having my own truth, and people would call me, and of course if they'd ask me which church to go to, and at that, well, that, yeah, I'm going ahead of myself a little bit here, but I was studying. Okay, there was a gal, see, I was praying that somebody would come and talk to my husband, because he was kind of lukewarm, I thought. You know how us wives can be. Well, and I, you know, and you can't blame the men. Why should the wife tell them? You know, the man shouldn't tell the wife either. The kids, etc. You know, with children, it's another story. You need to bring them up the way we feel is best. But when they get to a point, you gotta let it alone. Well, I kept praying and praying that somebody would talk to my husband. Well, what happened one night? I get a phone call, and here's a lady that was a. Her main thrust was to get people to the Bible. And she came to our house. She had wonderful Bible story books for children and books for adults. So she called and wanted to know if she could come, and I told her as nice as I could, hey, my husband might go on strike, so it's probably best you don't come until after that because we will not buy, because she sold her books. Well, she honored me, and then I told her in September, so she called. And I said, yep, they did not go on strike, so you might as well come on in. So she made an appointment, and she came. Well, she just kept talking to my husband, which I thought was great. And she kept telling him things and asking him how he feels about God and all that. And he really loved it, and it was really very special. And I'm praying because I could see that my prayer was being answered. Well, she offered us a free Bible study every Monday. And for at least a year, we Bible studied. Now, at the time, I didn't want to belong to any organized movement, but this lady was so good to us, and she was a very good teacher, and she showed us the right verses, so we end up becoming Seventh-day Adventists. Well, I am very much, when I see something, I get trained by watching, observing, and it seems like whatever comes into my path, I'm supposed to do it. So I was very interested in helping in this kind of a ministry, you know, like I said, co-portering, which is, literature evangelist. You go door to door and you do drawings and, you know, you get from people, they give you references and you call people that's how she found me. A dear friend of mine said, I think my friend LaVon would really enjoy these books. Well, I have been guided very wisely, I feel. It seems like I, as a rule, don't get too busy. And it's just, my life has been pretty simple, you know, that way. You know how it's so easy to get really busy, you know, because we like too many things. And I'm kind of one of those that if I try something, I usually can do it, you know. So I always ask to be guided. I always ask doors to be open and closed. Sometimes I get myself in a little pickle, and then I have to say, oh, Lord, got to open doors and close some doors here. And but I'm warning you when you pray, you better sit back because it will happen. And sometimes not the way you want it to. Well, what happened was I have my daughters now are first when I got into doing counseling for the 700 Club. It didn't matter because my daughters were both home. But all of a sudden, my oldest daughter was supposed to go to kindergarten, which was great, you know. But then I started to study with the Seventh-day Adventists, and I start seeing her message as my message. And I wanted to door knock. I wanted to reach people. I thought there's got to be others like me that want to learn this truth. At the time, I called it the truth, okay? So anyways, here I'm counseling for the 700 Club. I have a daughter going to school just in the morning, and then I have a daughter at home. So how am I going to juggle this? So I really prayed. Well, I was, like I said, counseling at the 700, as a counselor for the 700 Club, and of course, I start seeing Bible truth in what my mind saw as truth. So when people would call me, I would, if they were looking for a church, I directed them to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. There was one lady in particular, she was really upset because she could not speak in tongues. And the church that she was with told her that she was not going to heaven because she could not speak in tongues. So I told her what I thought of it. And I even wrote her a Bible study, and I sent it to her. Well, she did not like what I said, obviously. Even though she was upset because she couldn't speak in tongues, she still didn't like the fact that what I showed her did not mean she wasn't going to go to heaven because she couldn't speak in tongues. My personal view is Christ died on the cross. So what more do you need to do? You know, everything else will fall into place if you really desire to have his character. Well, anyways, all of a sudden I get this letter in the mail, and the head guy of the 700 Club, she sent him my study, and of course he circled it in big red circles and showed me how wrong I was and on and on and on and on, and he said, call me. So I thought, I said a prayer, I kind of gulped because obviously it wasn't that they were very happy with me. So So I called, and he told me, he says, you know what, if you can't keep your truth to yourself, you should probably consider resigning. In other words, he was saying, do not push any of my beliefs, just whatever. So I got off the phone, and I got on my knees, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I said, you know, I can't. Because if someone would talk to me, I would present what I believe is truth. And I knew I couldn't, I would be lying and I couldn't be deceiving. So I called him up and I said, listen, I says, you know, I cannot be a counselor for you then. Because I know that if somebody asks me my theory on tongues or which church to send them, I will send them. And he says he didn't mind about my Sabbath at all. And I told him I was keeping Saturday the Sabbath. He didn't mind at all, he says. But he said, this tongue thing is too serious. So it must have been his truth. So at first, I'll be honest, it was a little disappointing because I really enjoyed it. But then all of a sudden, it's just like, wait a minute. Here I prayed so that my life could be more balanced. So what I did then was quit the counseling for the 700 Club, and my daughter went to kindergarten from the bus picked her up at around 8 and brought her back at about noon. So my other daughter and I, we'd go door knocking during that time. And we always would get home just when my daughter got home from school. So God is good. The divine is good. The universe is good. Because what wonderful. I mean, my one daughter went to school. My other daughter got to go with me. I got to come home. And I got to keep up all my jobs as a mom and a wife. Plus, I did do a postering a little bit, and it wasn't a lot, but you know, when I had the time, I went and worked on my postering. So it was really a super-duper plan, and of course, God's plan is always the best. So anyways, we finally went to a camp meeting one time, and here I'm, it was in the summer, so nobody was going to school, and anyways, I was sitting in a special meeting, and I was hearing how we should give it all to the Lord, we should give our whole life to work for Him, and I'm thinking here, here I'm door knocking part-time, and I'm doing the upholstering, and I'm thinking, you know, that money was just extra because my husband, we've always lived on his income, and we still do. Anyways, I'm sitting there, and I'm hearing this message. So I said a prayer. I said, if you want me to give my whole time to the literature evangelist work as a gospel worker, you need to close the doors for me. Because my husband, I do not think, would understand. Because here I have a business at home, part-time, and then, you know, even though we lived on his income, you know, I don't think I have to say anymore. Any of us that are married, we understand. Well, after the camp meeting, see now, I believe that fall, my daughter, the youngest one, was going to go to first grade. So when I got home, I had an appointment because I had serious allergy issues. And the doctor said that my main reason that I had allergies, because I told them what I did was because they took this needle on your back, you know, and I had like 40 pokes. And I was allergic to mold especially, and he says that I was working... The work that I was doing, the mold, and I took the chairs apart, was giving me my main symptoms. So he said I had to make a choice, my health or my upholstering. Well, I'll be honest, I almost jumped and rejoiced because my husband came home. I said, da-da-da-da, and he goes, well, you got to, you know, I'd rather have you healthy. Now, my allergies weren't just a mild allergies. My allergies were severe. I mean, it ran and ruined my life. It was just horrible. I'd catch everything and anything. So my husband saw how I suffered. And it did really help. But the doctor also told my husband that he needs to quit smoking if he wants to help. It took a little bit. But that's another answered prayer. It's really special. While I was co-portering, I met this family. Well, anyways, we had I met this family, and they had this wonderful magazine, and the magazine was showed you how to stop smoking, and it had some ugly pictures, shows what it did to the lungs and the heart and, you know, the liver, et cetera, et cetera. The pictures were hideous. Well, anyways, I end up getting many of those magazines, and I use them as part of my co-portering. But my little daughter was so cute. We were looking at it together, my oldest daughter, and she had to been around 6, 7. She, big tears just rolling down her face, and she sat down by her daddy and says, "You cannot smoke. Look at what it's doing to you." And it was really kind of comical to a point, but she had him having little tears, too, in his eyes. Well, you know, quit smoking isn't that easy. And so what happened was a bunch of us belonged to a prayer thing. And, you know, like if you had a prayer request, we put it on the list and send it out to everyone. And I've done that myself a couple times, a few times in my ministering. So anyways, there was this, the lady that was studying with us every week, she said to me that her husband just, he finally became a born-again Christian. I said, "Well, what happened?" Because, you know, this lady right now is about 90, so, you know, she had to have been maybe 60-something, 60. And, you know, all those years, here she's going to church and he's not. And the funny thing about it, he was raised in that movement. And her mother-in-law showed her what she thought was the truth. Well, anyways, she said that there's a bunch of people that are all over the country. And what they did for 24 hours, somebody took a spot. There was not a minute where her husband was not prayed for. And then he, all of a sudden, that next morning, one of the little grandchildren, seems to be those little kids can reach the hearts of the men more than anyone else, was crying, "Grandpa, you're not going to heaven," and da-da-da-da-da. And he says, "You know, you're right. I need to get back with the Lord." So he did. Well, we had the same thing for my husband. So she said, "How about I get these people to pray for your husband?" And, of course, the last hour, he and I and she took. So she had a really nice promises from the Bible, and we had, you know, we read the Bible and we prayed. And we just, for an hour, did what we could, you know, spiritually. And then she just took his last cigarette pack out of his pocket and said, "This is it." And he smoked 3 packs a day. Can you imagine what that would have done to his health, plus our budget? And you know, he hasn't smoked since. Not that he didn't feel it. In fact, he said that his chest felt like it was caving in and it was hurting. You know, felt like, he said he couldn't hardly stand it. He must have had some real withdrawals. He was a real skinny, and he had a funny color to him. And not long after, he had a healthier color. He did gain some weight, but it looked better, because I think being too skinny is not healthy looking. So he quit smoking. Now, he has shared with me that there were many times he sat and he, you know, he sat, when somebody would be smoking, he'd sniff, sniff. He wanted to get some up his nostrils. But he said that for people to care enough for him to pray like that, he could not disappoint them. So see, but the universe knew that he needed that. So, and I'll tell you, it's nice not to have smoke. And it's a good thing now, the way they're so strict. And again, the budget, boy, he'd have to have a part-time job just to pay for his 3 packs a day. So the thing about it now, it's quite interesting. You know, when I was a Bible believer, we were, you know, prayer, prayer, prayer. Now I'm into prayer, but positive thinking is very, very, very important to me. In fact, this trauma erase that I do, that is the main thing that, one of the main things that we push. What's really neat is we have a school that people can join. And what's, everything that we offer almost everything can be done on the phone, in the home, through the mail, through the computer. And we have a, it's called the only permanent healing is self-healing. And it's basically what you think, what you say. And to me, prayer and positive thinking is the same. I mean, I have never yet heard somebody pray that they hurt or something happens bad to people or themselves. I'm not saying people haven't, but as a rule, positive thinking and prayer are the same. And what's really neat about, we call them module one, module two of our classes, and is that it gives us practices. It talks and it tells you to do some practices so that it becomes part of you. In fact, there was an individual that had leukemia, and she's over her leukemia, and she said she's tried many, many, many things, but the modules is what did it. And it's because it taught her to do it. You know, we're so used to having a pastor or a teacher do it for us. So she did what she read, and she feels that's why she is still alive, and her leukemia is gone. Now, like I said, we have a school, and we offer a class, a school class, which I just explained. Permanent healing is our self-healing. But we also offer, that's the beginning of our school. Down the line, if you want to do massage, there's a massage program you can do that is through DVDs or video. And then you can get certified, because I have become a certifier. And the only thing is that have to watch the videos, practice 100 hours, and then there's a 100-point test, and then I would see if you could become certified. And if you can't the first time, I will show you what to do, maybe the next time. And that's how I became a massage therapist, through this program. See, what happened with me is that it was another answer prayer. I homeschooled my daughters after, one was in third when they start being homeschooled, and one was in second. And what happened was they're used to me yet kind of directing. So my one daughter says to me, Kendra, she says, I would like to do massage, Mom. Could you find out what's the best way to do it? Now, we live in no man's land. I mean, we live in an area, I live in the woods. The little town that I'm in is maybe 50 people. There's a little store with a gas station up the road, and they have some cabins for hunters. And now that I'm a massage therapist, there's a massage therapist in this town. So, and the nearest Walmart right now is like 60 miles, and that's new. It used to be 110 miles. And it's just, we're in no man's land. And at that time, there was no massage class at the technical school, which is 60 miles. It's one town there. It's starting to build up. So I really prayed. I said, what am I to do here? What am I, how can we get massage into our lives? At the time, I was looking for her. Well, I thought, wait a minute, maybe there's a video program or something. So I got on the computer, and when you put something in, it's nothing to get 3 million choices, right? So I went, oh, my goodness. But the first thing that I saw, I liked what I read, but I thought, I'm going to look for more. I looked for more, and nothing sounded as good as the first one. So I called and talked to them, and it was just what we were looking for. So anyways, they sent me the videos, because I decided, hey, you know what? I should get into massage. Because when I was a gospel worker and we weren't doing our going around the country for 7 years, one of the things that we used to do is read the Bible but also teach people health, because the Bible is really quite clear on the diet, And, of course, I've learned more things. Life has changed, when the Bible was written, food had a lot of nutrients. Now the food is, a lot of it's like eating paper, so there's other things we need to do now, too. Well, anyways, I used to do a little massage with when we put people on a colon cleanse, and then I, if they needed it, I'd do a Swedish massage. So I thought, you know, I should make it into a money-making business. So we got the tapes, and I'm doing the same thing as they are now. I can certify you. So people can come after they're done and get certified. So, again, that was amazing. And now, because of what I am doing as a massage therapist, it opens the door for me to share my Reiki abilities, my ear canaling that I do, tell people about my trauma erase. I find people that are more interested in this esoteric thoughts, so this school that we offer training for positive thinking, you know, with the modules. It's just an excellent, excellent door for me. And it's up to me what I share with people because, you know, not everybody can handle past life theories, karma. You know, I used to not even believe in ghosts. I used to think that when you died, you slept until Jesus came. So there's many of people that don't even believe there are such things as ghosts or spirit guides or things like that. And I was one of those. So my main thrust today is to share how positive thinking is prayer. Prayer and positive thinking are the same. And it makes a world of difference what you say, what you think. And your thinking and what you say will overcome your emotions. Because I've had many people say, how can I say that when I feel so miserable? And I tell them, well, you want to release that miserable, keep talking positive. And, you know, some of them had trauma erased. Because it's like with my energy and their vibration energy together. It's just like if we were sent out into a field of rocks and we're picking up rocks, which I've done plenty as a child. Well, all of a sudden there's this huge rock, and one can't do it alone. You need to get someone to help you. That's all it is. Some of us have worked at it, so our vibration is a little more powerful, or even more powerful in a mighty way. So, well, anyways, we are going to, I guess my time is almost up. I just want to let you know, if you want to talk to me personally, or maybe you have a prayer request, or want to join to be a prayer warrior, 218-425-3983. My email is lavonnef@wiktel.com. Also, healingyoursoul.org. We have a newsletters on there. And you push the word subscribe, and you can get our free newsletter. There's like three different authors. You may want to get all three of them. Again, 218-425-3983 or Lavonne, LAVONNEF at WIKTEL.com. Anything you want to share with me, you want us to pray for you, or you want to become a prayer warrior, or get a newsletter, any of the schools I offered, it's all up to you. And, you know, and I enjoyed talking with you, and I will talk to you next week. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. Please visit our website at www.knowingspirit.org. And if you would like to be a guest on our program or book a private consultation with Reverend Shreese Thorne, please call us at 1-815-483-1141. Until then, this is Reverend Shreese sending you light and love on your journey home.